Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 7. It says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness," praise the Lord, "which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And here's the verse that has just been so compelling to me for many years now, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Father, I ask You to bless this morning, and Father, I ask You for Your Spirit, and I ask You for Your guidance, Your strength. Lord, I ask You please to speak through me, and Lord, this is what I'm about to try to describe as an impossible task, but Lord, I pray that You'd please speak through me. And Father, I pray and I thank You that You've been a hedge of protection to the folks here that have been at camp and kept people safe and kept them from harm. And Lord, thank You for that mighty hedge of protection You've been to all of us for the last year and a half through this this infirmity that has spread throughout our nation. Lord, I thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy, and Lord, Your patience. Lord, it's been Your patience in my life that has allowed me to grow so slowly, but to grow. Lord, I pray that You'd please be with us this morning, and Father, in the name of Jesus, through His power and authority, I pray that You'd bind Satan from this place, and that You'd not allow any truth to be snatched away. Lord, let it be good ground. Please, in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse became such a compelling verse to me and years ago, and it's one that it just continues to just compel me in my heart, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You know, if you know Him, if you really know Him, then you know His power. It's a young man, as a preacher in a Bible college, you know, we were taught, pray for power, pray for power. And I'm afraid that so often that we desired the result rather than the God who gave the results. But I found that if you know Him, the power that it's going to be there because it's His power. But your overwhelming desire doesn't become, God, give me the power so I can have results. It becomes, I just want to know You. And I know if I know You, You'll take care of it. But He says also the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And we're not going to go into a lot of that there, but my question this morning is kind of a challenging question, but do you know God? Do you know God? You know, I would like to believe probably everybody in here would make testimony that you know Jesus as your Savior, that you know that you have eternal life. And we know that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And if we're going to know Him the way I'm describing this morning, we've got to know Him as Savior. And even though we'd all give, probably in this room, all give testimony of it, I also have been around enough and preached enough and dealt with enough people to understand that probably also in this room is somebody who's really not sure you're saved. There's somebody that has gone through the motions, who have said the prayer, who have walked forward because other people did. When I was 12 years old in a Christian church, never heard the gospel, but in order to take the communion, you had to come forward and you had to get baptized at 12 years old. But I wasn't going up there. I didn't come to church that much, but I sure wasn't going to walk up to the front until my friends who were also 12, started walking to the front. Okay, so I'll go tag along with them. And the whole purpose we were doing it is so that you could get to finally take that little cup of juice and taste that cracker. And, everybody kept passing it by you for so long, and you wanted to know what it tastes like. And I'll just let you know, it's pretty much a letdown. It wasn't that big of a deal. But, I've met many people in my life. They'll say, hey, good to see you, brother. Or I'll say, hey, good to see you, brother. I may have done it to you because I know you, I know your face, but I don't remember your name. And I meet people that will say to me, you remember me? And I have to say every time, can you categorize? Did I meet you at a camp? Were you a military guy that I met on base? Were you at a church somewhere across the nation? Where categorize it for me at least, and then maybe I can search and kind of find this and remember how I know you. And most of the time, honestly, I remember faces, but names are just helpless. That just doesn't stick there at all. And so, but I've met many people. But I'll be honest with you, I've only truly known a few. And when you know somebody, what I'm talking about, when you know somebody, it's the person that maybe it's in this room that you don't have to worry about whether it's your good day or your bad day. They're not going to change their opinion of you. When you don't really know people, it's always, you always know that they're kind of evaluating you. I know that JoBeth, on my good days or my bad days, she's still going to believe in me. I think. I hope. Now, what I mean today is to know God well, though. To know Him deeply, to know Him, truly know Him. And know Him as He's revealed in His Word, to know Him. Even to know Him in prayer, to when we pray that we're not going through a ritual, but we're talking to somebody that we know. There is another sense in which we need to know God far more deeply than we do. You see, after 25 years as a believer, the Apostle Paul said that he had not come to know Christ as he should. That's the verse that we just read. He said, but what things were gained to me, I counted it lost for Christ. And he gets down to the bottom of this and he says, that I may know Him. And we're talking about Paul. Paul, the one that many say is the greatest Christian of the Bible. And Paul is saying here, 25 years into this thing, he says, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Just think, if this is true for Paul, who many believe to be the greatest Christian to ever live, where's that put us? What's your desire this morning? What's our desire when we finish up this day tonight and we get ready to shut everything down? It's one of the reasons that for years, and I can't say every night, that, because of health and different things and weariness, but probably 90 to 95% of the nights for many, many years, I'll take it and I'll walk at least some period of time. And the truth is because before I lay my head down, I want to say to the Lord, I want to know You. I want to know You. I want to know You better tonight than I did earlier today or even yesterday, I want to know you. I'm going to look at several scriptures. You don't necessarily have to look at them, but Hosea chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain, the earth." He said, then shall we know if we follow to know the Lord. God says, if you desire to know me, the more you desire to know me, the more you'll know me. Knowing God was so important to Paul that he prayed for others to know him. Ephesians chapter 1 says in verse 16, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power." He's praying that the people will know God. And we know him as Savior, and we know that he's got a book that tells us what to do and what not to do. And we live a life to try to stay pure and in the sight of God. And that's all wonderful, but God wants a relationship. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to want him. He wants us to know him. Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, David writes in Psalm 63, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is." In a land where no water. David says to know God is more important than the water that I need desperately to live. He said, if I'm out here and I have no water in the desert land, he said, it's more important that I taste of God, that I know God, than it is to have a drink of water. He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. You know, I've already kind of addressed it, but I think too often, even us best of Christians, we are sort of no different, forgive me, than the godless. Because we kind of create our God, we make, mold our God into an idol. You see, it says of their idols, they are idols of silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. You say, boy, that's the godless. You know, they make idols, and those idols are so helpless. Can our God speak to us? Does your God hear your cry? I'm afraid too often we become satisfied to have a God that we've carved out rather than seeking to know the true and living God. When we have a God that we design and control, we have no need to seek to know him, for we are him. God desires us to seek him, to know him. The word of God draws you to him. 2 Chronicles 15:8 says, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul." And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. God tells us we're supposed to seek him with all our heart, with all our desire. Folks, this thing called Christianity is not just a performance. It's not just something we do to make sure that our kids turn out right. It's not just something we do to think, God, okay, are we getting brownie points with you because we look like the way you want us to? No, God wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to burn inside to know him. It's been many years ago now that I finally came to the realization, God, I'm performing. I'm performing for you. I'm working for you. I'm doing everything that I think you want me to do. But I realized I was a servant, not a friend. Christianity is not a work to do. Christianity is not a duty to perform. Christianity is not an opportunity to be grasped. Christianity is a desire, a burning desire to know God. And I kind of preach this way, but I just kind of open myself up. But for many years, I worked for God. I knew him as my Savior. I got saved at 20 years of age. Got in church about 23 and went to Bible college when I was almost 27. But I knew him as my Savior. I believed in a sense. I loved him in the sense that a teenager sometimes feels they're in love. It's an infatuation. I appreciated him for my salvation because I knew what he had done for me and what he had kept me from. I was privileged to receive the blessing that his grace provided. But I didn't know him as Paul desired to know him. I was working for him. I was serving him. I wrongly let the performance of my duties take the place of a relationship that God wanted. And the truth is that I didn't realize how much I needed. I needed so desperately. And this is why I'm preaching what I'm preaching today. You can either learn for yourself and take many years to come to the truth as I did. We walked into the Bible college and two kids and one on the way and working 50, 55 hours a week and going to school full time and working two ministries and just going nonstop to the point that I was getting 3 and 4 and 5 hours sleep a night. And forgive me, preacher, but I didn't have a walk with God when I went. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know the books of the Bible. I didn't know. I was not consistent in reading my Bible. I didn't understand even what prayer was. I didn't know how to pray. God had just impressed upon my heart I was supposed to serve him, and I didn't even understand fully what that was. Now, you take somebody like that, and this is the thing that I worry so much about young people. They go from their schedule of life, they go to bed at 10 and get up at 6 or 7 in the morning, and they don't have a real walk with God then. Do you think they're going to somehow transform into a walk with God when they go to going to school full time and going and working full time and getting 3 or 4 or 5 hours sleep? They're not going to suddenly get a walk with God then. And I didn't, and I made it all the way through Bible college that way. And at times I would say, God, I feel like I'm just going through the motions. I know there's more. I know there's more. I want to know you. Forgive me. I was running past him. And then I went on staff and it didn't change. 7 days a week and just go and go. And then it's more, I got to produce. I've got to be successful. I've got to make everything happen. And yes, at times I would think, God, I feel like something's not right. I can remember when they wanted me to take over one more duty, oversee another group of men. And I said, I can't. My walk with God is not anywhere close to what my service is. I'm going and going and going, but I don't know Him. Finally, I just said, God, I got to know. And Lord impressed upon my heart to begin a fast. And I had no idea. I thought maybe He was going to have me fast up until a meeting that I was supposed to preach at. And it was about 10 days. And that was the most I'd ever fasted, was 10 days. And I got to that point and I preached that meeting. I thought I must be done. But God just made it so clear, I'm not done. And so I ended up going to that fast, the very first one. It went 30 days. And at 30 days, God made it clear I was supposed to stop that fast. But can I tell you what? I didn't even understand what God was doing, but He was breaking me down. He was bringing me into weakness. He was bringing my strength down. He was bringing this dependence on my body and on my strength and on my determination. He was bringing me down. He's breaking my pride. He was peeling away the layers, and God started to open up a little vision of seeing God and knowing there's so much more to knowing God. And you can learn yourself and take many years to come to the truth, or you can learn from me, as I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best, please, to beg you. Don't wait any longer. Young person, do you understand what God could do with your life if you began now in your youth to seeking God, to wanting to know God? You know, when I was dating Jo Beth, getting ready to marry, my dad, just construction worker and a farmer, he'd never finished the ninth grade, but one of the wisest men I've ever met in my life. When I was dating Jo Beth and I was getting ready to marry my dad, we were sitting at a table, and he said to me, he said, "Son, do you love her?" And I said, "Of course I do, Dad. I wouldn't be marrying her if I didn't love her." And he looked at me, he said, "No, you don't." I said, "What?" I looked at him, I said, "Dad, you don't want me to marry her?" He said, "I didn't say that, boy." He said, "It don't matter what I want." He said, "Well, you're the one going to have to live with her." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And my dad said, "Son, you don't love her." He said, "When I married your mom, I thought I loved her. We got married on their 25th anniversary year." He said, "We've been married now for 25 years. He said, "Now I realize I didn't know what love was compared to the love I have for her now." And he said, "Son, you don't know what love is. But just wait. Wait 25 years and you'll see." I realized after 43 years married to Jo Beth, I realized how wise my daddy was. After spending time together, after going through adversity together, after laughing together and working together and dreaming together, I know her so much more. I know her personality. I know her desires. I know what makes her happy. I know what makes her sad. I know her spirit. I know her loyalty. I know what her words mean. I know what her body language means. I sure do that. I know what she wants to accomplish and how she wants to accomplish it. I know what's important to her. I know what and who she loves. But for so long in my Christian life, I was in that acquaintance, infatuation stage with my God, where I know Him, but I don't really know Him. I don't know how to love Him or how much He truly loves me. So my question is, do you know Him? You know, when you begin to know Him, it's not the ritual of reading 3 chapters a day so I can get through my Bible. It's when you start to read, you realize this is His desire to speak to you. This is how He teaches you. This is how He loves you. You begin to know His personality. You begin to know His desires. You begin to know His mind. You begin to know what makes God happy, what makes Him sad, to know His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, what His words mean, to know what He wants to accomplish and how He wants to accomplish it. You know what's important to God. You start to know. I tell my folks at my church, most of the messages that I preach, they come not because I was searching for a message. It's they come when I walk out at night and I start walking. And I say, Lord, you know what? My people have a need. And I just need You to bring to my mind. Show me, Lord, the verse, the thought, the something, Lord. And sometimes it's a word in my mind. Sometimes it's a verse He brings to my mind. And I'll go home and I'll open up. And it's like God will just open up. A whole, just like everything unveils, and I think, oh, I didn't know that's what you were saying. I didn't know that's what you wanted, but it was there, and that's what He shows me, is because God wants to speak to you. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not spooky. I'm not saying He'll ever tell me anything out of here. He brings me to a passage in the Word of God. He brings me to a truth that the people need. God gives me that. Because He knows more what the people need than I do. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. This is my desire, that I may know Him. This is why I pray that God would speak to me as unto Moses. I'll pray often, God, speak to me as a friend, speak it to a friend. I'll pray, God, Abraham was a friend of God. Lord, I pray that I be a friend of God. I pray that God, David was a man that was after God's own heart. God, I want to be a man after God's own heart. I want to know You. I want You to speak to me. I want You to teach me. I want You to open up and show me. Do you know Him as Savior? It's wonderful, but do you know Him as Abba Father? Do you know Him as a friend? Do you know Him in the power of His resurrection? Or do you simply know Him as a God, a Creator, a Savior? It's a wonderful thing to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. But that's not why God leaves us here. He doesn't leave us here to perform. He leaves us here to get to know Him, to walk with Him, to talk with Him. From that first fast, there's been several years, I don't know total now since then, maybe 5 or 6 or 7, I don't know exactly how many, but there's been several years where I'll begin a fast. A lot of times with my church or with people, I'll say a 21-day fast, but almost always God will take me longer. And there's been several, probably 6 or 7 or 8 years that I've done 40-day fasts. And it's not anything for me. I'm just telling you, it's because I know that I get caught up in this, the world, and get caught up in the busyness, and I get caught up in all the things that have to be done. And there I just have to stop and say, God, I'm shutting it all down. I don't mean I stop. I don't mean I stop, but I mean I get focused. I got to get focused back on knowing you. And I'll go through the fast, and God will just strip away all the confusion. And yes, I continue. We got to keep going. We got to keep working. We got to keep witnessing. Got to keep doing it. But the simple truth is, when we get caught up in the busyness, we forget God. And God is so good. He wants us in His patience. He's so incredibly patient with us because we get so sidetracked from just loving Him. You know, it's been a wonderful journey for these 43 years to know JoBeth. It's been an amazing journey for many years, yet too few of getting to truly know Jesus. But I want to know Him. This morning, I want to know Him. I want to know Him through His Word. Not to just acknowledge or have knowledge, but I want to know His mind, His desires, His heart. I want to know Him through His Spirit, His truth, as the Spirit will guide us into all truth. I want to know Him through His people and pray for them as they... And Lord, I ask the Lord, please help me to somehow deliver my heart, my soul, what you've done in me and what you're doing in me. And I'm so far from perfect. I have so many imperfections, but God, somehow I want people to know what you've done in my life. Do you know Him? Do you want to know Him? Do you have a burning desire to know Him? If we spent the same amount of time, you that are married, if we spent the same amount of time talking to our spouse and spending time with Him as we do with God, what kind of relationship you think you really have? Or would you even still have them? That's why I thank God for His patience virtually every time I pray. Because I know I've come so short. If I spent the same amount of time with JoBeth and speaking to her and loving her and getting to know her as I do God, would we have any relationship at all? Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Do you know Him? I'm not claiming that I've got some great and better relationship with God than you do. I'm trying to tell you that I went too many years trying to serve God and thinking that was the way to know God. And don't misunderstand me. You don't stop serving God. But you've got to desire to know Him while you serve Him. Paul didn't stop going and starting churches. He didn't stop traveling and going and helping people. He didn't stop discipling people. But he also told them that I may know Him. I want to know Him. And I'm begging you again, young person, sometimes I look in the eyes as I speak like this, and I think maybe all you sense or see in me is that guy's weird. But I'm going to tell you, the life that you've got ahead of you, the battles that you've got to fight, the adversity that you face. You need to know God. You've got to know Him. I mentioned my little girls. You girls here, you think about this. You go your whole life to meet that man and you have him for 2.5 months or 2.5 years. And watching the whole 2.5 years, you're just watching him die for 2.5 years. Let me help you. At that point, all the service that you did, it's not going to keep you. What's going to keep you is that relationship with God. And please, again, I say, don't misunderstand me. We've not slowed up a bit trying to do for God. But it's just, I could do for Joe Beth and try to, and she knows this. She'll say to me, I can't say anything to you because if I say anything that I might want, you'll try to get it. You know, I could just do that because I'm just supposed to as a husband. I can buy her flowers on her birthday and I can get her, and I can do all the right things, but have no desire to have that intimate relationship. And all they become is stuff she stacks up. But if I bring her that thing, and I bring it to her because I love her, and because of our relationship, we're closer. That's what God wants. He doesn't want you just doing. He wants you to know Him, to love Him, to work with Him so that you truly find that His burden is light. Do you know Him? Father, I ask you to bless us this morning.